morning we're starting a brand new three-part series in the lead up to Christmas, the Christmas season. In order to introduce it and to introduce what's behind me, we're going to play a little bit of a game. I hope you don't mind. But we're going to play a little bit of a game of famous songs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing a sentence of a song to you, and you're going to try and complete that sentence for me. I promise you, it should go well. I hope it should go well. Are we ready?
Yes.
Right, I get very nervous now. All right. For I can't help. Yes, Lydia. Wonderful. Lydia got that one. Brilliant. Your singing was much better than mine. Okay, you ready? You're still the one I run to, the one I belong to. Come on, Sandy. Come on.
Come on.
You're still the one I want for life. Well done, everybody. Good, wonderful. This one's a little bit more modern. You might know this one. You're amazing. Come on.
Just the way you
smile. Yes. Yes, Gina. Well done. Awesome. And I. Wonderful. Brilliant. Okay. All you need is. Do, 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 do. Wonderful. We're getting there. When a man. Oh, you know what? This is brilliant. We're getting there, aren't we? Okay. Signed, sealed, delivered. Wonderful. Good, Stevie Wonder song, that one. Hello? Oh, I tell you what, this is good, you know. Wonderful. How deep is? Wonderful. And one final one. I just called
to say I love you.
Thank you very much, I appreciate that. Wonderful. You know what? That's brilliant. It went better than I ever thought it would go. Thank you ever so much. It's a bit of a ropey start, but we got there, didn't we? So obviously, our new series is around the word
love.
Wonderful. Loving well. More particularly, loving well. What does it mean for us to love the way that God intended? So over the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at what it means to love ourselves, to love our neighbour, and ultimately to love God. Love ourselves, love our neighbour, and love God. You see, we live in a world where the word love is used to describe so many different things. We say, I love you, to a person we deeply care about, which you would expect, wouldn't you? That you would say, I love you, to someone that you care for. But it's also used to describe what we feel about food. I love steak and chips. It can also be used to describe someone's passion for a football team. I love Liverpool. Or in some cases here, I know that people love Arsenal. It can also be used to describe a type of music, to describe a love for a type of music or a band, to our pets, books, babies, friends, even the weather, films, holiday. The list goes on and on. You can say, I love whatever. It seems to be the world says, I love this. Now, the dictionary defines love in this way: a great feeling of deep affection, but it also says a great interest or pleasure in something. That is what is defined as love. The problem I have with the definition of the dictionary is that most of the things we say love, that we love outside of relationships with people is actually nothing more than something that we're passionate about and really like or appreciate. I wouldn't say it's we love it. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't say that we love things. I might like Liverpool really much, but I do not love, not in that way. When you look at the Bible, you will see references to love. And there's four main Greek words that define love. But interestingly, all of these four Greek words have nothing to do with things, but they have everything to do with people. So there's nothing in the Bible about loving things, but everything about loving people. Eros is the first one, romantic love between a man and a woman. Then you have storge, which is family love, that bond that automatically grows between a parent and their child, or brothers and sisters. That's storge love. Then you've got phila love, the deep bond that is between friends. And then the final Greek word used to describe love is the one that is really central to the Christian faith. And it is this, agape. The immeasurable, unconditional, incomparable love that God has for humankind. It is sacrificial and it is pure. So there are four types of love the Bible talks about. They are all, every single one of them, about people, not about things. They are eros, storge, philia, and agape. This is that love that God has. Agape is that love that God has for humankind. But it's also the love, agape, why it's really important for us is it's the love that he wants us to have for him, that we can have as we come to know him and as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of love that God wants us to have. And the Bible tells us in John 3 verse 16, for God so loved agape, the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Even though we didn't know God, even though we didn't know that he perhaps even existed, even though we didn't recognize our need for him, God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus, his Son, God in human form, to die for this world. To forgive us all of the things that we do wrong, that thing that the Bible describes as sin. And gives us opportunity to be reconciled, to be made righteous, and to have a relationship with him. Romans 5 verse 8, that you'll know very well, tells us, but in this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But even more than the Bible telling us that God loves us, he has that agape love for us as humankind, there's something more. The Bible tells us that actually God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 1 John 4 verse 16. God is the complete embodiment of love. You look to God, you see love. See, God wants us to be a people who love well, who love ourselves, who love our neighbor, and who love him with our whole hearts. Why is love important? Because without love, we're nothing. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, that really great description of what love is, that's often read in weddings, but it's also for outside of weddings as well. But it says in verse 2, 1 Corinthians 13, I may have the gift of prophecy, I may understand all the secrets, things of God, and have all knowledge, and I may have faith so great I can move mountains. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. If we don't have love this morning, guys, and love in the right way, we are nothing. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to the scripture that we're going to be using as the basis for this three-part series? It is from Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Give you a moment just to find that. In fact, I'll take it back to verse 34 just to give it a little bit of context. But Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. Says these words, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we're going to be looking at that what it means for us this morning to love yourself. To love yourself. As much as we mentioned that that there are some people... Oh, sorry, I've gone too quick there. When we use the phrase that the person loves themselves, you ever heard that phrase? That person loves themselves. We don't often hear it, do we, in a positive way. Usually people use this term to describe someone who has a little bit of an ego. They love themselves. There's someone who's full of pride, someone who is basically a little bit up themselves. But the truth is, there are people out there who have a distinctly high opinion of themselves to the point of arrogance. And usually, they are the kind of people who we don't really like being around. Those people that are a little bit arrogant, a little bit like, love themselves that too much. So when God talks about the need for us to love ourselves, what is he actually saying? What does he mean when God says we need to love ourselves? To love yourself, firstly, is the first point if you're taking notes. Love yourself like God loves you. Love yourself like God loves you. Really important. See, as much as we mention that there are some people who are in love with themselves in the negative, I think often the biggest problem that many believers face in this world is not so much that we love ourselves too much, so that we're arrogant or prideful, but actually we don't love ourselves enough. In fact, some of us perhaps don't even love ourselves at all. When we come to Jesus, we come as broken people. We have a past that many of us regret, and we sometimes carry baggage. We've been hurt and we've perhaps hurt others. We despise what we see in ourselves and the things that we've done. Jesus then comes into our lives. He forgives us and he makes us clean. 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is really, really good news. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is that we don't live as if we're clean. We don't live as if God has done what he says he's done. We live as if we're still condemned, unlovable, broken and worthless. But 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We need to live in the new, not live in the old. Because you and I have been renewed. We need to start to love ourselves like God loves us and like he explains in his word. We need to see ourselves through his eyes. Because what we think about ourselves this morning, what you think about yourself will flow into your other relationships. What you think about yourself, whether it's negative or positive, will flow into the other relationships that you have with others. Ephesians 1. Some words. You might want to turn to this because there is a few verses that I want to share. But Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 14 talks about what we should remember about what God has done, how we should see ourselves. Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 14 says these words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Some great words there that tell you what God thinks of you. I mean, there's loads of other scriptures as well, but through what Christ has done, let's pick up a few of them. You are chosen. You are chosen. I don't know if you've ever played a game when you were a kid and you were standing against a wall like I used to. And you used to be chosen for a side to play football in my case. And when you got chosen last or didn't get chosen at all, that wasn't very nice. You just left there wondering what was going on. But you're chosen. You weren't chosen last, you were chosen first. You are chosen by God. You're adopted as sons and daughters. You are his child. He accepts you. You are redeemed. You've been made right. You may have made loads and loads of mistakes, but you've been made right because of what Jesus has done. You are forgiven. You are included in his future plans. And what's more, you have an eternal inheritance to look forward to. That's just a few things that you pick up just from those 10, 12 verses. Amazing verses. You are loved by the God of the universe. You are unique. There is no one like you. You were worth the agony that Jesus went through on the cross. He did that for you. You're not damaged goods. You have a great value. You may feel that you don't have it all together. Is there anybody here that feels like sometimes they don't have it all together? There's a few of us. We don't feel like we have it all together. But that's okay. There may still be things you struggle with from your past and elements of your character that you want to see change or need to be changed. And in his time, God brings about that change. But right at this moment, today, on the 12th of November 2023... you need to know this. God loves you and he accepts you as you are. He loves you enough to want to see you change, but he accepts you on this day just as you are. So wouldn't you think then, if he accepts you as you are, that it's about time that we start learning to love ourselves. Loving ourselves the way that God loves us. We need to start loving ourselves for who God has created you to be, because he doesn't make mistakes. Psalm 139 says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That doesn't sound to me like a mistake. If God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, he means it. Fearfully and wonderfully made. God has made all of us different, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago in the purpose, driven life stuff. I'm glad that he's made us all different. Wouldn't it be great to have a whole church of Steve's running around? We are unique and different. When we understand and experience how much God loves us, we can then learn to love ourselves more effectively. Secondly, if you're making notes, in order to know what it means to love yourself properly, you need to understand that you need to look after yourself. You need to look after yourself. What do I mean? If we're parents here, or if we're grandparents, We will know the importance of looking after our children when they're babies. We do not leave them to their own devices, do we? We change their nappies. We feed them milk. We bathe them. We clothe them. As they get older, we cook them meals. We teach them how to clean their teeth and wash and clothe themselves. Why do we do that? Because we love them and we want them to look after them properly. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We need to look after our children. We need to look after our grandchildren. So why should it be any different then when it comes to ourselves? Learning to love ourselves means that we need to make sure we look after ourselves. Do you properly look after yourself? Do you? I mean, it's a real honest question. I'm not expecting people to put up their hands and answer it. But you need to ask yourself, do you look after yourself? Do you make sure that you're eating properly? Do you keep good hygiene? Do you make sure that you clothe yourself properly? And two of the really important ones, do you make sure that you get enough sleep? And do you make sure that you exercise in whatever way that you can? Because 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You're not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God in your body. Folks, if we want to learn to love ourselves, you've got to start to look after yourself properly. If you find yourself that you're going to bed too late, and then you wake up the next morning and you're grumpy, or whatever it might be, try to get to bed earlier. You know, sleep, God created sleep for a purpose. And I don't know the scientific things behind it, but the things that I have read say that during that time when you sleep, things repair. Things become better. I know a little bit about it because I've been doing a bit of research looking into, my dog. And he sleeps a lot because that's when he develops and grows. And I'm sure Charlotte will be able to tell me, but I guess that's probably a little bit when, especially the babies and stuff, that they sleep so much. I guess that's the development and stuff as well. And actually, God gives us sleep because we need it. We can't work and live with purpose if we don't look after ourselves. If we don't eat well or we don't exercise, that's difficult. But then there's also a more spiritual side as well to the equation. And one of the biggest ones is learning to guard your heart. Scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You need to look after yourself, you need to look after your heart. You know, because we live in a world, don't we, where we get hurt quite easily. If you don't guard your heart, it can lead to bitterness and all manner of trouble. Look after yourself. Find that time to just go into bed that little bit earlier. Make sure that you're eating. Yes, feed your kids. Yes, feed your family, but make sure you eat too. Because you'll be no good for anybody if you don't. Make sure you do the basic things, the basic hygiene things, in order to show God that you value who you are. Because God has made you. So as much as at times you may think that you haven't got value, God says you have value. And every time we don't do the things that we should do, we're not really showing God how much we love him, because he's made us like we are, and that's a good thing. We need to start learning to love ourselves. It's mine and your responsibility to look after our own physical, mental, and spiritual health. This body you have is what God has given to you. He created it, he's redeemed it, it's on loan, so make sure you look after it. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Good. Good. Make sure you look after yourself. Make sure you learn to see how God sees you, how God loves you. Thirdly, we need to be able to love yourself by being humble and not prideful. To love yourself the way God desires means to be humble, not prideful. Those who love themselves with pride have an elevated opinion of themselves. They can be selfish and look out only for themselves and look out for opportunities to only build themselves up. But God calls us to love ourselves by being complete opposite, by being humble. Understanding that we have not value, not in our abilities or our reputation, but because we're created in the image of God and he's rescued us from darkness and brought us into his life, light. Every good thing that we have is a result of God's goodness to us and the love he has for us. The loving of ourselves should always point people back to the goodness of God, not to ourselves. That's what's different about the love that God talks about, the way we should love ourselves. It's not to make ourselves, look at me, look how amazing I am. But actually, look at me, look what God's done. It's all for his honour and for his glory. When we humble ourselves before God, we correctly show what loving ourselves really means. It goes beyond just us and looks at the bigger picture, seeing that the needs of others and God is much more important than ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 3 to 4 says it this way, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. As we humble ourselves before God, I love the verse in 1 Peter 5 verse 6, because God does the rest. It says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. We humble ourselves before God and we glorify him, and then he does the rest, because he automatically wants to bless you, to bring you, to bless all areas of your life. Finally, you need to love your neighbour as yourself, which we're going to look at properly more, but there's a next week as we look at love your neighbour. But there are many things in life that can't exist without the other. You need two people, I would suggest, to make a relationship work. If one person is not interested, that relationship will fall apart. You can't be successful in life without having some kind of sacrifice. Shade can't exist without light. Magnets can't exist without the North and South Pole. You can't fully, and I mean fully, love others if you don't love yourself. Our reading from Matthew 22 verse 39 says, love your neighbour as yourself. As we already mentioned this morning, when we love ourselves, we look after ourselves. And when we look after ourselves by eating, exercising, sleeping and clothing and bathing, that's important. But in the same way that we do these things for ourselves, because we love and respect ourselves, Jesus calls us to do the same thing for our neighbours. So if we are looking after ourselves properly in the way we should, God also is calling us to do that for our neighbours too. Now, having said it, like, it is possible to love others if we don't love ourselves, but I believe you can't love others fully the way God intended, especially when it comes to loving our enemies, which we'll look at more next week. It's so much easier to love others when we have the correct love for ourselves, that correct understanding of what God's done for us, an understanding, as we've already looked at, the same for the, you know, for ourselves. If we remember we love God in the way that he loves us, if we remember that we look after ourselves, if we remember that we're humble, then it's so much easier to love others as well. See, the truth is, if we don't love ourselves, we can't give our full selves to others, because we'll automatically try and protect ourselves. It's likely that insecurities will surface and potentially damage relationships and friendships we make. We can't give out what we haven't received and allowed to become a heart experience. If you don't love yourself because you've been hurt in the past, if you try and love others, you will try and get. You will perhaps be a little bit insecure. You will try and protect yourself that little bit more. And you'll never give your full self to them. You'll never fully love someone else. God calls us to love ourselves and to get the healing that we need, perhaps when we have been hurt, so that we can love others effectively. Loving ourselves and loving others go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It's why we've got to learn to love ourselves properly. But as I say, we're going to be looking at loving our neighbour next week and going more into that. But just a brief thing, because they are connected together. As the Bible says, love your neighbour as yourself. If you love yourself, you'll be much more able to love your neighbour properly. So in conclusion, loving yourself is not a bad thing. In fact, it is a biblical principle, but we must learn to do it in the right way. We must learn to love ourselves like God loves us, realizing that we're created in his image, we've been forgiven and made clean. We need to learn to love ourselves by looking after ourselves, and we need to understand that we can only love others fully when we've learned to love ourselves and when we've learned to be humble as opposed to prideful. And when loving others is the second commandment behind the second greatest commandment behind loving God, it's important that we sit up and take Jesus' command seriously. Let's seek to love ourselves the way that God loves us. Not with pride, not with how great am I, but with God, you've done so much for me. You've made me as I am. I may not be perfect, but you are changing me. Help me to really love myself. It took me a long time, too long, in my kind of estimation, to learn to love myself, to understand that God made me as a pastor, as a husband, as a son, as a father. He's made me, and no one can be me. And that's all right, because no one can be you. You just got to learn to accept who God has made.